6. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Foxwolf, Madman, RU46, and Sard. I'm still learning how to read a calendar. What are you guys drinking?
Knob Creek again, on the rocks.
Very nice.
Nails.
Johnny Walker Black, on the rocks.
Very nice.
Rum and Coke.
I've got some Ruination IPA here, and I tell you what, the Stone Brewery guys go nuts with the hops.
It's because it's an IPA.
Yeah.
Fair point, but...
Imperial Pale Ales are bitter as fuck, no matter which one you buy.
Well, this IPAs one is
are
more
bitter
than
our use, Mom.
Oh. Let's see, that was 1 minute,
seconds.
20 seconds.
Yeah. Your mom jokes have started.
Wow.
And you're shocked?
No. No, not really.
But they have a tighter cunt.
This is true. This is very true. Well, not hard to pull off. That is
this
true.
Is, hey, it wasn't me this week.
We're not even 2 minutes.
We're not even through the intro and what you're drinking, y'all.
I'm like, I've got most of my beer here. I've not even got an excuse to be tipsy, and we're already on this shit. My God.
I just like to be noted that I didn't start it.
It has been noted. Okay. So I didn't get, like, any feedback on us doing less computer-related discussions, so I'm going to assume nobody actually cares and just do whatever the hell I want. And that's a little too bad, really, because I thought we had a fantastic discussion that just wasn't really computer-related last week. But that's okay.
I would have chimed in if I was here, but...
As your intro says, it's a show about stuff that interests you. So discuss whatever interests you.
You know, I've really got to stop making... Yeah, I put that in there because it was funny, and now it's seriously become a thing. So it's sort of like we support the robot uprising. I've got to stop making jokes. Become real. Yeah. So anyways, what I thought would be kind of fun to talk about today was pirating software versus finding the open source free alternatives or just fucking paying for it. And to be fair, I have done all three. So I think I can actually talk on this. I think at this point, most of us have done all three. So, I don't know. In the show notes, I kind of put some pro and con stuff. I don't know. What do you guys think before I start reading lists?
That piracy in general, or?
Well, piracy versus, you know, finding open source software versus, you know, just buying it.
I think it come down to laziness, man.
Well, laziness versus, like, getting burned a few times. Like there was a time there where, you know, I was, you know, started like I'd be legit, they pay for games, do all that shit. And then like three games in a row that I, you know, purchased were absolute shit. Like either they were terrible ports, they ran like crap, you know, they were just broken and really shitty and not worth the money. And it's like, well fuck, you know, if I pirated this thing, I wouldn't be out any of this shit. I wouldn't have put up with any of their DRM crap saying that I can't play the game that I legally paid for. You know, I wouldn't have to go through all these fucking hoops to get it to work. And it came down to, it was actually simpler to pirate the game. It's also been, in my experience, like, I'll even say, like Skyrim. You know, I was like, okay, best side of game. It's hit or miss on whether this seems to be locking up every 30 seconds and I look at it funny. Or if it's actually to be a legitimately good game. So yeah, I pirated it first. I played enough of it that, yeah, eventually I decided, yeah, alright, you guys put enough work into this, it's a good game, I'll give you money for it.
Alright.
So you think piracy is kind of a demo thing?
Yeah.
And I can see that, because you can't take back a game in the States.
That's
no,
true?
Not anymore, because she'd be like, oh, you just made a copy of it.
Well, especially if you're looking at something like, you know, it's a good point on the demo thing, because if you look at something like, say, you know, Photoshop, you know, if you go buy a full license of Photoshop just off the shelf, that's like $500 to $1,000, depending on what package of the software you get. And, you know, you might be able to do all of that when, like, you know, paint. And you might figure out, okay, this is way more than I need. So that's a legitimate point of just, you know, getting your hands on the software, especially if they don't have a demo.
Yeah.
Just to see if it's actually what you need or not. And, you know, some of the software out there, especially the specialty stuff, is really fucking expensive.
And unnecessarily so, in my opinion. That's another reason why I'm pro pirate, is because I was just gonna say that's why I'm pro pirate, is because I think the prices that they charge, especially for in places like RU, I mean, he's paying over $100 for a game. I mean, I think $60 is too much for a game here in the States. That's why if I buy, the only thing I buy anymore is games, and I don't buy them until usually they're $10 or less.
Well, that's a good point. Steam makes it really accessible to get a game, you know, for less than the $60 normal price point. Go ahead, RU. I know you were trying to say something.
Like, point one, I don't think game companies out there release big enough demos anymore. Every game used to have a demo you could download for free to try it out. There's none of that anymore. There's not enough of it anyway. Not enough people do it, and especially the big game houses have just stopped entirely. And has anyone ever paid for a copy of AutoCAD in the world, ever? I don't know. I've never seen a legitimate copy of AutoCAD out there.
He's probably sitting right next to the one guy who bought a WinZip license.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's something you would do if you won the lottery and just, like, didn't give a fuck about money. It's like, yeah, all right, I'm going to buy me a WinZip license. I'm going to frame that shit.
But you brought up a good point with the no demo disc. When, like, the last time I actually got a good demo disc like that, do you guys remember Computer Game Strategy Plus, that magazine?
Yes.
No one?
Not really.
Yes, maybe. I fucking loved that magazine. It was during the mid-90s and all that. But as far as I know, I think it's still around. I don't even know. But I don't know another. Every single magazine came out with a demo disc that had at least 20 games on it. It was freaking awesome.
That's how I got to play most of the games as a kid growing up. Like, I couldn't afford that shit. So, hey, free demo. I play the fuck out of a demo level like 20 times over. And just, like, trying to figure out different ways to either break it or beat it or do whatever.
Yeah,
on the demo disc.
Yeah. Well, it's, and, you know, the demo aspect is important for another reason. And it's not whether or not just, you know, do you like the software or do you like the game? It's, especially with games, it's will it run on your system, or are you going to need to go out and blow $800 on, you know, graphics cards and processors before the damn thing will even run?
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of nice to know that you can run it before you go plop the $60, or in RU's case, $250 down on it.
Yep.
So
there needs to be like a digital demo of Steam. Like, that just has nothing but game demos going way back to the 90s.
Take
my idea, make $1 million, just, I don't know, give me some.
At one point, I had a set of CDs. I think I paid $5 for it in a clearance bin at Walmart. That was nothing but game demos. It was like three CDs. No, it was more than that. Maybe six or eight. It was one of those folder things full of CDs. That was just nothing but demos. And half of them didn't even work. I mean, some of them were just absolute shit. But there was some good stuff on there, too. You had to dig for it. But, you're right. The demos are completely gone. Although another funny point is back to what Foxwolf was originally saying. He was saying that the legal, having a legit license didn't help him at all with DRM. And I had listed down under a downside of piracy is having to jump through the hoops to get around the DRM, you know, having to crack the software and, you know, run specific versions of it that are probably a version or two behind. And, you know, the crack's not working, or the damn thing's being full of malware. But, you know, I've seen legit copies get DRM'd to death, too. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but anything that uses games for Windows Live that you installed through Steam, so it's like triple verified that you paid for the damn thing.
Rockstar,
and it still
I do not need to sign in 16 times to a Rockstar game.
Yeah.
And then there's the game that you pick up that runs like shit, you know, has, like, the online thing is like, everybody, can everybody see the game? Okay, everybody connect. Yeah, we all know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, God.
And you think, like, okay, it's because we're all right. you know, running fucked up pirated versions, they're probably, this is probably part of the penalty for that. You know, we play enough of this, and it's on sale, let's buy the real game. Oh, look, the real game's even worse.
Go back to using the pirated copy, everyone.
Yeah. Why do you reboot your servers at 11 o'clock at night every night? Right every in the night. Middle when we're playing.
Well, I'll be completely honest. Some of the private World of Warcraft servers that are modded all to hell are a hell of a lot more fun than the real game.
Yeah, you don't have any Asian people stealing your shit every 5 minutes.
Single-player games that require internet connections to verify that you bought them.
Oh, yes!
I think the anti-piracy thing is getting so bad that it's making me want to pirate. And I've gone out of my way to go legit on a lot of things. I used to pirate every OS on my system. Now I just found ways to split the cost with a dozen people. It brings it down to affordable, and I get valid tech support, but with games and shit, it's the DRM is getting enough that the pirated copy of a game is easier to play than the legit one.
Like, high-home consoles shouldn't need to be logged onto the internet to play. That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's all
agree.
This. Yeah.
The world's going in the opposite direction that it should, and it's all just because of piracy, DRM. I don't know.
Well, I mean, still get to do demos, though. That is one upside to them. Go into like the PlayStation channel on your PS3, you get to do a lot of demo games.
Well, they're saying on the new Xbox that you're not even going to be able to use used games. That like the games will be locked to an account.
A cloud account.
Oh, that is stupid as fuck.
Yeah, that reminds me of another gripe that I have with games these days. Whatever fucking happened to actually having a CD, rather, or a manual, even? I miss those days. Like, when you went and bought a game, and it actually came with a paper manual and an actual CD, or even a floppy disk that you actually, you know, physically owned, not just opened up the case and, oh, here's your activation code. Go here, download the game, blah, blah, blah.
Well, see, I had that problem this week, man, with that hard drive I lost. It went out. I couldn't connect to Steam. I didn't have the hard drive space at the time. I just went back to the old CDs. I was looking at a pile of old games here that I was just installing, uninstalling when I wanted to play them until I got my Steam account back.
No.
I miss owning games. It's moving to the point where when I buy a game, I'm stuck with it for life even when I'm done playing it. I can't sell it for cheap and try to get another game. I don't own the property on my computer anymore.
I would say, like, a little bit of the devil's advocate here is you can't really do that with Steam games either. Like, okay, you own everything in your Steam library.
I'm running it.
Yeah, you're using everything in your Steam library, but if you're done with it, you can't, you know, give it to somebody else.
But this has come up before. Well, I mean, Steam has their game gift thing. I don't know how well that works with games you're currently playing, though. I haven't played with it much, but I know you can, like, buy copies and give them away. But, like, this has come up with iTunes, too, where, like, somebody died, and Apple said, yeah, no, all those licenses are gone. Whereas, you know, if you had a massive CD collection, you know, you could leave it to your kids or something. I don't know how much they would want your, you know, massive CD collection, but you know, you could do something with it.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just had this horrible thought. Yeah, like when grandma and that dies, you only go around with dad or something on that weekend and clean the house out, and you go through all the old shit. So when we die, man, our grandkids are just going to inherit a couple of hard drives, and they're going to go through our hard drives.
Yeah, oh, it's all going to be DRM. It's like, grandpa didn't leave us the password, so we can't see, you know. So
look at all the porn grandpa had. God.
So I know home movies. Holy shit, Grandma, is that... Oh.
You just leave that shit on the internet.
Yeah, that's why you have like a thermite detonation switch, like, wired up to a dead man switch, like, attached to your heart. Your heart stops, it melts your hard drives.
just get a dog tag around your neck, format my hard drives.
Mm-hmm. Erase my browser history.
Yeah, redigi kind of just died. I hated that. somebody actually came up with a service to resell your digital content, and the U.S. Supreme Court said that can't happen.
Yeah.
Why not? So, I've owned it. I bought it. It's my shit.
You bought a license to it.
It just happened that Apple had more money than this startup company.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Shocking as that might be.
What a surprise. So, what about, you know, what about saying, well, fuck commercial software, we'll just go open source. Everybody run Linux, we'll, you know, you get all the free stuff, you don't have DRM to deal with.
Office, yeah.
You're fighting the system, man. And actually, in a lot of cases, it's as good or better than the pay stuff. But in other cases, it's not.
It's jumping through a lot of hoops to get your system working, and then every game you try to play crashes it.
Well, there's not that, every game. Then you run into the compatibility issues between going from your open source system to, let's say, your place of school or work, which runs the,
runs Windows.
Yeah. Copy, and then trying to get everything to play nice. And
Big wants
together.
To jump in here. Go ahead, Big.
I just want to say, I have tried electronics engineering, or I think it's called PCB, something like that, or KiCad, some alternative to Eagle or the ridiculously expensive Altera. KiCad is nice, but it has nowhere near the usability of a paid program. Honestly, if you're going to do something like design a circuit board, you might as well either pirate Eagle or go all out and get Altera. The open source alternative isn't as nice. And even with something like OpenOffice or LibreOffice, it's not as good as Word. You know, you try to open a Word document and it sometimes can't format it right. So you've got all this weird shit. So you think you fix it, you save it, and you have to go back to school and you open it up and it looks like shit. Just the open stuff is nice, but it's got a long way to go. I'm done.
And Big's done. Thank you, Big. But, well, okay, it's hit and miss at the open source. I mean, some stuff's really spot on. Like, if you want to run a web server, you know, Linux and Apache is where it's at. I mean, that is what you want to be doing. But audio software on Linux is still a sore spot. It's a lot better than it used to be, and there's a lot of projects around Linux that look awesome, but I'm not sure where they are, and I haven't had a good opportunity to sit down and work with them. We use Sam Broadcaster to run the station because I tried a Linux-based open-source solution, and everyone else kind of rebelled. So, yeah.
No, it was pitchforks at 2 a.m. Burn the bastard.
Yeah, you know, I had to buy a gun. I mean, okay, it's stretching it just a little bit. But
it was going that way.
Sometimes open source can be a lot harder to get it working. Not everything's going to crash on it like Madman was. I've gamed on a Linux. I've had my main machine be a Linux box. I went about a year using almost nothing but Linux exclusively and running everything in Wine or using Linux native stuff, and I got by all right. But you get tired of fighting with everything. You really do. And it's not Linux's fault. It's because, you know, you're trying to run Windows software on it, and the manufacturers don't put out Linux binaries. I'm not attacking Linux. Don't let anybody misunderstand.
It's Windows is paying everyone to build games for Windows because that's how they sell their stuff.
But it's not even Windows. It's fucking DirectX is what it really is. And, you know, everything's a fucking console port, so they're not ported properly, and getting that to work in Wine is even worse. Yeah. So
I completely agree with what you just said. I mean, I've tried to go 100% open source. And like I said, it's tough. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be able to play probably 90% of the games that I do with you guys without Windows. But I don't know. Part of me wants to argue that could change, and it's just a matter of education as far as people knowing that there is an alternative out there and getting more people to use it and then you know, there's more of a market share, so people want to build more software for it.
But you would think, with the flop that Windows 8 was, that you'd have a lot of people going, well, Windows sucks. Let's see what else is out there.
Yeah, and I think we did. I think open source did benefit from that. I think that it benefits from that every single time. And I also think it benefits from the astronomical prices that freaking Microsoft charges for Windows. And people on a budget trying to build a computer or whatever, you can't do it in for, you know, over $150-$200 or whatever for an OS license.
And like you were saying before with the, you know, with like the specialty software for, you know, audio or video or anything like that, these programs are designed for to be sold like big companies with like, you know, the money to throw at these things. I mean, hell, you even see it in physical things like the server rack that I have. Like the front door for this fucking thing is $700. It's a fucking chunk of metal. But yep. These things are meant to be sold to big corporations and that have, there's like, okay, that's like a drop in the bucket to them. They don't fucking care. And that's exactly what most of these things are marketed for. It's like your average Joe is like, hey, this looks kind of cool. You know, I'd like to try some 3D rendering or, you know, I want to try my hand at, you know, doing, you know, audio editing or anything like that. You're either stuck with something that's got a about as much user-friendliness as a brick to the head or, you know, spending out your ass.
Now, when we're talking about the user-friendliness of a brick, are we talking about the giver or the receiver of the brick to the head?
I'm going to go with receiver.
Okay. It's an important point of clarification, because chucking a brick's not hard.
True.
Okay.
On some of it, I think it's about even as for open source or pay. Because open source, you're doing the work getting it to work. If you're doing the pay, there's a lot of workarounds to get many things a lot cheaper. You just have to look really hard. I've seen ways to get Adobe stuff for half or a third the price. I'm currently using a version of Windows that I legitimately got for $80. And that still might be expensive for a piece of software, but it's a lot cheaper than the $200 you pay retail for it.
Well, the reason they get away with charging that for Windows itself is because most people don't buy Windows separately. It comes on their computer, and it's prorated a little bit by the... Yeah, it's just rolled into the cost of the machine, so most people don't even know it. So... Microsoft actually started giving Windows XP away when they were doing the Linux netbook thing, you know, the $200 netbook. Microsoft all but gave XP away just to stop that, because then people were going to notice, well, how can they sell a netbook for $200? And it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's the window, that extra, that $400 laptop, half that's the fucking software licensing. It's like, so...
And I think a lot of that, like I said, I think that can change with more education, just getting people aware that there are alternatives out there, and then more people using it gets more development, more attention. And then before you know it, all software is open source and free, and the world is happy, and rainbows are... Yeah,
put the bomb down.
Hold on. Sard, you just went full hippie. Never go full hippie.
Is that Sard or Major? I can't tell anymore.
Oh, fuck you, buddy. Oh. That's going a step too far.
For Linux to really catch on, computer classes in school have to actually be computer classes instead of Windows classes.
Every single programming class that I've ever been to has used Linux.
I haven't taken a programming class.
Most of the programming classes I've been to have been Windows and Visual Basic.
I'm just thinking elementary school, high school, all those were taught. I remember Apple I's being in some schools, but that was years and years ago. Pretty much everything I've seen since has been a Windows machine.
Yeah, I remember playing Oregon Trail on an old Apple II, but...
When I went to college, all Windows machines. The the one computer class I had to take, which... pissed me off because they weren't even teaching you how to use Windows in Windows. They were teaching you how to use Windows in a Windows emulator.
Oh, I remember that shit. Okay.
But it was still, this is how you use Windows. It wasn't, this is how you use a computer. And I think for Linux to really start catching on, people need to be taught Linux exists, this is how you use it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying, education. I know, I mean, I see articles and stuff like that of, you know, this government body has switched from Windows to Linux purely from a licensing standpoint. But, you know, I it is true, I mean, where they make Linux look more Windows-friendly because they're obviously trying to convert people and that's kind of what they're familiar with. But I really think it's an education thing. People just really need to know that it's out there and there are alternatives. Not every computer out there is a Windows computer.
So what do you think then? So, you know, if you have the opportunity, should you pay for your software or just fucking pirate it out of principle? Or, you know, just look for the open source alternative. If it's there, go with that. And then if it's not, pirate it or just buy it or what? Box.
Column A, column B. Yeah, I'm going to use the example of, like, movies and shit right now. Like, everyone's like, oh my god, they're, you know, we're losing so much money pirating shit. And it's being shown, like, with Netflix and Hulu and, like, you know, these easily available cheap services, that piracy has dropped significantly because it's easier to get it through this legit source. Like, I don't know about you guys, like, for the most part, it's, I'll check Netflix. Oh, they don't have it. Well, okay, to the high seas, you know? You check a couple legit places for it first, and if they don't have it, yeah, okay, then I'm going to go out and see where else I can acquire it from. I think it's the same thing with software. Like, if you start making this shit, you know, available at a reasonable price for people, or at least, you know, let them try it out for free. You know, it's like, give them a full version demo for a couple days or whatnot. Like, you should be able to get a good feel of, you know, is this worth spending my money on? But if you're charging like $400 or $500 for a piece of software, it's like, I understand you have overhead operating costs and all that, but for Christ's sake, man, it's ridiculous.
All right, Sard.
I usually go against the grain on this. I don't know. I say open source first. If you can't find it there, pirate it. And if you really have to have it as a last resort, wait till it goes on sale and then buy it.
Madman.
I hate to say piracy is legit because it is theft. My only reason to ever see piracy is possibly okay is the return policies on a lot of software are stupid. If I buy something and it's crap, I should be able to get my money back on it. But I'm not going to say it's good to go out and get something you don't really have a right to. I don't want to call it theft either because no one's being deprived of property. But it's the manufacturer can choose how much they pay for it. They want to sell it for, and if I don't think it's worth it, then I just don't pay it. But that doesn't give me the right to go take it from someone else.
All right,
I'm good.
Being in a country that doesn't even have the opportunity for Netflix or any of those video services, and it's unfortunate. So if I can't find it on YouTube, and I know it's still piracy watching it there, then I'll hit the high seas. I'm pretty much in the boat all day, every day. But when it comes to games, on sale only, I haven't bought a store copy of anything. As Fox pointed out, man, the prices are just retarded. You know, $109 for a game. You know, and then there's no return policy if that game sucks. Piracy, when you don't have an option, I don't really give a fuck anymore. To be honest, I don't care. I try not to pirate games and software, but you know, your high-end software like Photoshop and stuff like that, I don't know. I'm on fence. I'm on the fence, man. What can I say? I'm yes to movies and music and stuff like that, but no to games and things. I don't know, man. On the fence.
Well, I mean, you know, me personally, I try to find the open source version first. just because that's going to be, for me, that's the easiest thing in the world, because I can make it work if it's out there. It might be more work than it's worth, but if there's not if there's just not something out there that does the same thing, then, and go look at it. It's like, is it $50? Is it, $50? Is it something reasonable for what it does? Buy it. If it's, if it's not reasonable, it's just like, wow, that, Ableton Live is $700. I mean, my God. Then, it's like, hello, Mr. Pirate Bay. actually, Pirate Bay is a bad idea. Go to Filecrop first. But, anyways.
Probably not good to advertise where to get it. Just saying.
That's a fair point.
So Filecrop is what you said.
Yeah, that one's fun. That one's not a torrent site. They index like rapid share like sites. So, you don't have to run a torrent client, you just download it. And that's a great way to get your demo software. But yeah, you have to watch out for malware and that shit too, because people love building botnets. And that's usually, I tell people to stay away from the pirated software just for that reason alone. Just because I've seen too many people running, it's like, yeah, I got this version of Windows 7 off the Pirate Bay, and it's kind of not running right. Can you take a look at it? It's like, yeah, you got like 4 bots on there, man. So, and the machine comes pre-owned. So, all right, let's quit beating the dead horse. I'm pretty sure it's not getting up or whatever.
I also bought a gun if we need to make sure it's dead.
At least is equipped for werewolf, so
Silver tipped hollow points for the win.
I'm gonna have to get some of those for mine. Alright.
Goddamn, ammo's expensive enough right now.
It was the silver. Only box in the town that I was in. I went to like 5 different places looking for ammo for this gun. The last place I went to had a box of silver-tipped hollow points. Like, I'm good for werewolves, zombies, awesome. And people.
Nice.
And I'm paying 10 extra bucks for a box of bullets.
All right. Let's see here. Current events. First story up I have is from Ars Technica. Excuse me. Assuming that Texas Governor Rick Perry does not veto it, the Lone Star State appears set to enact the nation's strongest email privacy bill. The proposed legislation requires state law enforcement agencies to get a warrant for all emails, regardless of the age of the email. On Tuesday, the Texas bill, HB 2268, was sent to Governor Perry's desk, and he has until June 16th to sign or veto it. If he does neither, it will automatically pass and take effect on September 1st, 2013. The bill would give Texans more privacy over their inbox to shield against state-level snooping, but the bill would not protect against federal investigations. The bill passed both houses of the state legislature earlier this year without a single nay vote, so the things were passed unanimously. The new bill, if signed, will make Texas law more privacy-conscious than the much-maligned 1986-era Communications Privacy Act, Electronic Communications Privacy Act. With the ECPA, federal law enforcement agencies are only required to get a warrant to access recent emails before they are opened by the recipient. As we've noted many times before, there are no such provisions in federal law. Once the email has been opened, or if it has sat in an inbox unopened for 180 days. In March 2013, the Department of Justice acknowledged that a congressional hearing on this distinction no longer makes sense, and the DOJ would support revisions to ECPA. Spokesperson of the governor did not respond, so they don't know if he's going to sign it or not. It goes back and forth. The real reason I wanted to talk about this is because a lot of people are applauding this as some big, great move. The problem is your state agencies generally aren't the ones that are, getting into your email. It's usually the feds. And, ours was going on about how, well, if this passes, it could convince convince Congress to do something nationally about email privacy. But, right. I mean, it's Congress. What are they going to do?
If they were wanting to push the issue, they could have written the law in such a way that it forced the feds to get a warrant in Texas for any Texans.
I don't think it was written that way because they specifically say it does not affect federal investigations. And the FBI specifically is the organization I would be concerned about getting into your email. Federal Bureau of Investigation. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting bill, but honestly, it will do nothing. Most of your state agencies are not getting into your email anyways. They bring in the FBI for that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm on one hand, it's kind of a cool measure, and if it did get more people to start doing it, it might be kind of cool. But I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of like it seems useless to me because it's sort of like Afghanistan saying we promise not to nuke, you know, South Africa. Well, that wasn't really a concern in the first place, was it?
If they were wanting to be serious, they could have phrased the law in such a way that when the FBI does a warrantless search, they could be taken to court. And since they didn't phrase the law that way, I think this is just placating the Texans. Somebody read a story somewhere that the FBI was doing it. The Texas legislators saw a way to get brownie points with their constituency and did it. It's a nothing law.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That makes me a little depressed, Marps. Why'd you do that?
Well, if they were going to do anything trying to attack it, they would have gone the Virginia route the way they did with the healthcare bill. Virginia actually wrote into their constitution a way to challenge Obama's healthcare bill in court. If Texas wanted privacy to be an issue, they would have done a constitutional amendment, and then any time a Texan's privacy was violated by the federal government, you have a chance to take the government to court. Well, not any time, but at least the first time. And then they could have tried to change things nationally.
Well, you know, I felt the need to point this out because so many people were saying, oh, this is a great and wonderful thing. I mean, whether he signs the thing or not, right? I mean, I think Madman phrased it perfectly. It's a pointless law.
I think Perry might try to sign it just to gun up anything if he's going to do another national run. But it's all political maneuvering. It's not... I mean, everyone that voted to do this might actually believe in privacy, but the way the law is set up, it's not going to do that. It's just a way of pandering to their constituents.
All right.
If Perry signs it, it's a way for him to pander to national constituencies if he wants to run for president again.
Okay, next story here. This one is from H Online. U.S. federal prosecutors have unsealed the indictment of 7 men who were allegedly involved in the Costa Rica-based digital currency and exchange service Liberty Reserve. Authorities in the U.S. had already seized the service's domain, effectively shutting down its website last week. The site's founder, Arthur Budzkowski Belentkulk, I apologize if I'm saying that wrong, but I think it's got too many vowels. A former U.S. citizen who now holds Costa Rican nationality was arrested in Spain on Friday. The indictment charges the defendants with money laundering and conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business and orders them to surrender all property in connection with the Liberty Reserve operation, including more than $6 billion the site is believed to have laundered since 2006. Millions of dollars of these proceeds have allegedly been deposited in bank accounts around the globe, including Costa Rica, China, Russia, and Morocco. The investigation involved officials of 17 countries. Users of Liberty Reserve exchanged native currencies for the service's LR currency, and then were able to transfer funds worldwide. Since the service allowed anyone to sign up without any identity checks, and it even advertised privacy features, it made it trivially easy for users to hide their tracks. It is alleged that this mode of operation, coupled with complete absence of oversight by any regulatory authorities, made it an ideal haven for money laundering operations. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, Liberty Reserve was used extensively for illegal purposes, functioning in effect as the bank of choice for the criminal underworld. They called this thing the hacker PayPal or something like that. Or The site was allegedly used to facilitate fraud, identity theft, illegal access to computer systems, drug trafficking, and child pornography. Of course. The service is believed to have had more than 1 million users and processed more than 12 million transactions a year. So the reason I brought this up is because what Liberty Reserve did was they operated a virtual currency, sort of like the Linden dollar, but it has relations to Bitcoin as well. And then you could then transfer, you know, you would buy into their currency, and then you would give their currency to somebody else as a transaction, and then they could use the Liberty Reserve currency to buy whatever they wanted, generally the currency of their nationality. So it would be a way as somebody in the States to pay somebody in, you know, China, why not? You know, they pay Liberty Reserve and then send the Liberty Reserve currency to the person in China, and then the Chinese person turns it into Chinese currency, because I can't believe I'm blanking on what that is at the moment, but you know, hey, whatever.
The yuan.
Yen.
Thank you. And you know, they could turn into yuan there, and so yeah, they got shut down. Now the thing is, you could make the argument that that's a lot like what Bitcoin does. So I feel it has more. I think it has a more relation to Second Life money, but anybody else wonder if this is kind of like a preemptive trial run for taking out a lot of virtual currencies, not just this one?
That's what I was going to say. What's to stop someone else from just, you know what? I'm going to make the boob currency. Who wants to, you know, come in and trade some? Give me your own money. I'll give you boob currency. Go out and buy it. You know, buy stuff with it or something.
Well, I'm just wondering, could you, like...
That's what any currency is, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know.
I'm just wondering if, like, Chuck E. Cheese would let you exchange the tokens back into cash, which we know they don't do. Could you use Chuck E. Cheese as a money laundering system?
Yes, people use World of Warcraft gold as a money laundering system.
I know. But
Bitcoin, I haven't actually looked into Bitcoin at all. Beyond what I've read in, like, economics journals. But isn't your name linked somewhere in Bitcoin?
You have an account that's linked to Bitcoin, but you can change it. You can change your identity number anytime you want. It's all generally linked back to a wallet, but there's nothing to stop you from having multiple wallets. Every transaction is logged, though.
But could, let's say, Madman use Bill Murray's name to make a Bitcoin wallet?
Yes,
I'm sure you could.
Okay, because what the Justice Department was really arguing with this particular case isn't that the virtual currency was wrong; it's that they weren't using anything to track the individual people. They weren't calling for, like, open up an account, show us a driver's license to show that you are the person that's in charge of this account.
But why? Forgive me for my ignorance, but is there a law that says you have to do that?
Yeah, certain financial services are regulated.
For certain things,
but only for
with
us.
Larger dollar amounts. But I can't think of anything that it's particularly violating.
Well, they shut it down for facilitating fraud, which...
The only way they would really be able to push that is if it was being exclusively used for fraud.
On that note, then, shouldn't a half of Wall Street be shut down for facilitating fraud?
Like I said, they should only be able to go for it if it was exclusively being used to facilitate fraud.
Exactly.
If that was like, also
like
legitimate
Nigeria's
users,
internet connection just needs to go away then, right?
Yes. Unless you can find one person in Nigeria. It's kind of like the Sodom and Gomorrah thing, that one good guy can be saved. But the way a lot of anti-money laundering or services like this are written in at least U.S. law, they have to show that it's being exclusively it's being majorly marketed to or exclusively used by criminals. It's not just that criminals found something and started using it.
Okay. All right, next story. This one is from foreignpolicy.com. First time I've ever had them on, and that URL kind of scares me a little bit, to be honest. The FBI wants a new law that will make it easier to wiretap on the internet. Although it's claimed that the new law will only maintain the status quo, it's really much worse than that. The law will result in less secure internet products and create a foreign industry in more secure alternatives. It will impose costly burdens on affected companies. It will assist totalitarian governments in spying on their own, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this thing's half opinion piece, so I've been trying to... Pretty much, the FBI wants ISPs and service providers to be legally required to build in backdoors so that they can go wiretap.
Once again, and they're trying to push all responsibility and of eavesdropping off on back onto the ISPs.
Well, the FBI actually put together a proposal and presented it to Congress, and they want to fine companies that refuse to comply $25,000 a day.
That's retarded.
It's ridiculous. The FBI can get a warrant and then go to my house and tap shit.
But you see, that's too hard. They want to be able to do it on the internet.
I don't give a damn if it's hard. It's supposed to be fucking hard. That's what the Fourth Amendment was for. It was for making this shit hard.
Oh, there you go, referencing old documents that nobody cares about.
God, man, it's so like 1870.
No, Madman's absolutely right.
The digital revolution, but I also should buy an assault rifle.
That's your answer to everything. I gotta buy more guns.
Yes, guns and fucking ammunition. I'd get explosives if it didn't require me to put my name on another four lists.
Because you're not on enough watch lists already.
No, I just need to buy a farm.
I don't know. All the ramen you have in your pantry might count as a food stockpile, and then
yeah, I've got more than 7 days of food. A lot of times, I'm on a list for that. Even though there are some government agencies that say I should have 7 days worth of food.
There you go, blaming the government for you having 7 days of food again. What are you gonna do? Buy a gun? So they tell me how much food to have.
Yes. And ammonium nitrate for my garden.
God.
And I'm backing out of that joke.
Let's just go on to the next
snail.
Story. Thank you, Ari.
I've been a good rocket snail for a while.
Yeah, rocket snail. ArsTechnica.com. A Vietnamese blogger, Trong Doi Not. I'm not making fun of that guy. That was my best attempt, was arrested at his home for his blog posts that called for social reform, according to a report Monday from Reporters Without Borders. After his request, Nhat's blog was temporarily disabled. An unknown party then set it up again as a trap, downloading malware on any PC that tries to access it. Nhat's blog, entitled Another Point of View, was his follow-up to reporting positions at two state-controlled newspapers. Quam Nam Da Dang police newspaper.
Just go ding dong.
Yeah, really. And Great Solidity newspaper. Nhat has been writing at Another Point of View since 2010, criticizing the country's communist government. Most recent post at Nhat's blog was titled The General Secretary and Prime Minister Must Stand Down. In a post on October 2012, Nhat attested that his blog was neither propagandistic nor reactionary, according to Reporters Without Borders. As of Wednesday, Nhat's blog was accessible again. However, visiting the site reportedly results in an attempt to download malware to your computer. It is unclear whether Nhat set up the blog that way or if others gained access and booby-trapped it to keep readers away or tried to load up whoever goes to it with monitoring software so they can catch him. His arrest was followed by that of a guy. His last name's Onke, because I don't believe I can pronounce his first three names. A website technician who posted photos of police breaking up a protest on his Facebook page. So, Onke was sentenced to 45 days in prison in order to pay about $1,000 in fines. It's $200,000 in their native currency there, and $2 million in their native currency, or about $11,000 in damages. So the Vietnamese government is shutting down anybody who speaks out on the internet. And I like the whole setting up malware on the blog sites to keep people away from them. I thought that was cute.
I'm seeing the future here. With the way the laws are going in the U.S., this could be a glimpse into our future.
You know, I just realized I've pretty much put together the most depressing show notes ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to drink more.
Mm. Well, yeah, keep us from falling into the sun there, Madman.
It got a little hot today. I didn't drink nearly enough.
Next depressing story is from Torrent Freak. The Commission on the Theft of American Intellectual Property has submitted a detailed report to Congress asking for drastic anti... And this is actually really funny that you said you saw the future here. Asking for drastic anti-piracy measures to protect the U.S. economy. The report cites hundreds of billions of dollars in losses and suggests a wide variety of measures to combat piracy and counterfeiting, including excessive internet monitoring and government-sanctioned ransomware. Government-sanctioned ransomware. You know the fake virus that claims it's the FBI and turns on your webcam? These guys are going, that's a good idea. We should do that for real. In an 89-page report with a strong focus on China, the commission describes how the theft impacts the U.S. economy and suggests what can be done to fight it. The IP Commission starts with describing the scope of the problem, which they believe amounts to hundreds of billions of dollars. The annual losses are likely to be comparable to the current annual level of U.S. exports to Asia, over $300 billion. The exact figure is unknowable, but private and government studies tend to understate the impacts due to inadequacies in data or scope, the report reads. Because of online piracy and other forms of IP theft, the Commission believes that the U.S. economy is currently missing out on millions of jobs. In addition, they note that the threat of innovation significantly degrades the quality of life for Americans, or the threat to innovation. I love the way this reads. The report distinguishes many different forms of IP theft. However, throughout the report, casual online piracy, counterfeiting, hacking, and economic espionage are often lumped together when it comes to the recommendations. The commission also recommends to the government to authorize aggressive cyber actions against cyber IP thieves. Good God, they love that word. This includes the peculiar suggestion to make it possible for copyright holders, not law enforcement, for copyright holders to access computers of alleged offenders to retrieve the stolen files.
What happened without to innocent until proven network, guilty?
Say that again, Madman.
What happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Yeah, that went out the window with the Fourth Amendment there. What'd you say, Ari?
How do they? Why would they want to retrieve the files? It's not like it's making no sense.
It's attribution. It's how do you identify who the hell it is that's getting into your shit? Well, you get into the machine and see where it is. Without damaging the intruders on network, companies that experience cyber theft ought to be able to retrieve their electronic files or prevent the exploitation of the stolen information. The commission notes that it's currently not permitted under the U.S. law to break into computers of suspected IP thieves or anyone else. However, if the law was amended to make such defensive actions legal, the damage being done right now could be greatly reduced. So basically what they said is it's okay to hack back if you have a stake in something.
No, it's okay to hack back if you think someone might have possibly taken something that you think belongs to you. There's way too much ambiguity, and it's giving the power to a private citizen. I mean, normally I'm all up for private citizens doing whatever the fuck they want. But the whole reason a government exists is to prevent my next door neighbor from shooting me or taking my crap. So if they have a grievance, I don't know, go to court. That's why they were set up.
Yeah, see, that again comes back to, it's too hard.
I don't give a fuck if it's hard.
That's been a running theme for a long time, that everybody keeps asking for all these crazy-ass permissions. Or it's like, we ought to be able to hack the IP thieves. We ought to be able to, you know, set up warrantless wiretaps. It all comes down to, it's too hard to do it legitimately. That's literally the excuse for all this bullshit.
Hey, Morse, isn't that what we've been using as an excuse for piracy, though?
Well, getting money is hard.
Yeah.
And as was stated earlier on in the show, I'm against piracy.
Yeah, fair point.
But
yeah.
The fuckers who drafted this, we need to put their names on, I don't know, 4chan's B channel saying, fuck these men over. Because I don't know how to do that digitally. I'm thinking nameless roles must grow.
I'm just starting to
go.
What's the name of this? Bill,
there's a link in the show notes here for you.
I'm looking at it. I could be researching names. Not that I would ever, ever have someone else subscribe to Nambla or subscribe someone else up to any of their newsletters. Just, you know, for defense in court later on.
Sard, you ought to read that one out.
Okay, I was just... That's...
Bashed on the word, baby.
Yeah, I found that part about them getting their files back reminded me of a Bash.org quote saying, this guy says, I downloaded something from Napster, and the same guy I downloaded it from started downloading it from me, you know, when he's done downloading the song. And he messages him and says, what the fuck are you doing? I just downloaded that from you. The guy replies back, getting my song back, fucker. I don't know. It's just funny. It's like, well, we're going to go back and get our files back. Okay, so you're going to make a copy of your copy? Like, what the fuck?
That's what I'm like sitting going, oh, what?
That doesn't make any sense.
And then I've just got this whole dystopian cyberpunk future of you sitting there with an egg timer and you're like... 5 minutes, that's all you can do online before you get, like, hacked or some shit by corporate espionage that's just going fucking retarded, and you just reach down and grab the ether cable and rip it out of the fucking wall 2 seconds before some black hat asshole comes screaming through those lines and damaging your hard drive.
So, now we know what happened to RU's hard drive.
Oh, there you go.
Black van pulled up.
And she pointed the microwave gun at your house and pulled the trigger.
But I just love the lack of evidence required to do any of this shit. It's retarded as fuck.
Ah, shit.
And you can't prove any amount of money lost.
Yeah.
Fox, turn off the whole music, please.
I'm trying.
One slight problem I'm seeing with this is there's a lot of pirated crap that you wouldn't have bought because it was crap. I'll give a non-pirated example of this. Anyone ever read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Really funny series of books.
I listened to the radio play.
A friend of mine got the movie because he loved the books. Watched the movie. It was crap, he said, compared to the books. So he gave it to me. I have a copy of a movie I would have never bought simply because it was handed to me. So... Mm-hmm. Claiming that there's a loss of revenue implies that I would have bought that. And a lot of movies, I wouldn't buy.
Yeah.
Next on a plane. Here. I went and saw it in theaters. I loved it in theaters. I was drinking. There was a lot of other idiots in the theater. I'm never going to see that movie again. I would never buy it. I would never go see a sequel to it. But that one experience was well worth the $10 I spent.
And I couldn't afford to pay for all the movies I watch each week.
Yeah, it's retarded.
I'm just really glad there's all these B-movies on Netflix, because it's like, I would never plop down cash for some of this shit, but it's kind of fun to watch, you know?
Yeah, like, you get a whole different variety. And same with music. Lately, I've been going through this whole Wagner phase, like, just constantly listening to Wagner. I'm not going to go out and spend $400 on CDs for a fetish that'll last like 1 month. And then I'll quit listening to it for ages. But I can listen to it all on YouTube. Or other... Well, actually, no. I haven't tried... was it Groove Shark? Wagner. But I'll give it a go. Let you know.
Pandora. I listen to a ton of crap on Pandora.
You might not be able to get Pandora in Australia.
I don't think we can get it. We don't have Netflix or anything like that. The reason is the price comparison once again. Because we still pay $29.95 for a DVD.
Your tax structure.
If it's Blu-ray, it's I think $45 is minimum for the cheapest you get. They're usually around $50 for a release.
And I think new release Blu-rays are like 19 or 20 here.
Yeah. So, that's why Australia will just put two kangaroos in a ring and call it Pokemon and for entertainment, because their government taxes the crap out of everything else.
At the end of the day, like, it only hurts the like, I will never pirate local production. I'll always support, like, there's an Australian zombie film coming out. I will find a way to give them money. It is going to happen, because I support their project.
All right, let's see. Next story here. This one's from Ars Technica. A federal judge who had previously declined to force a Wisconsin suspect to decrypt several hard drives believed to contain child pornography has now changed his mind. After considering new evidence, the judge wrote an order last week that the Milwaukee area man must now either enter the passwords for the drives without being observed by law enforcement, or government counsel must or must provide an unencrypted copy of the data. In April of 2013, Jeffrey Feldman was ordered by a United States attorney to help federal authorities execute a search warrant on a collection of his own hard drives. The government claimed that it had probable cause to believe that these drives contained child pornography. Feldman, a computer scientist and software developer at Rockwell Automation Inc., has yet to be charged with the crime. As we reported previously, forcing a defendant to decrypt a hard drive can amount to self-incrimination if the government can't otherwise show that the defendant has the password for the drive. In such a case, forced decryption amounts to forced confession that the defendant owns the drive. Earlier in this case, Judge William Callahan had ruled that compelling Feldman to provide the passwords to the hard drives would violate his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. We've done that story. I remember specifically talking about this one and thinking, my God, we have a judge who actually understands what
Isn't
a password
this the guy
is.
That's going to go to jail for longer? He'll sit in jail longer for not giving the passwords out than actually if he just gives them out and gets the sentence over and done with?
Theoretically possible.
Yeah.
Possibly. According to the order, after devoting substantial resources to the case, FBI agents has apparently been able to decrypt one of the drives. I don't remember what this guy was using, because I think they said it in one of the stories. This guy wasn't one of the TrueCrypt drives. I think this was the Windows encryption. I don't remember. But apparently the FBI managed to get into one of the drives. The government argued that because it had found numerous files with... they found kiddie porn, and they found a whole bunch of the guy's personal records, so they could pretty much prove that, you know, it's Feldman's drives. And therefore, it is a foregone conclusion, arguments the government, that the drives in question do belong to Feldman, and the judge agreed, adding that Feldman has until June 4th to take action. So, yeah, they've reversed it and said, oh, nope, it's not a Fifth Amendment violation anymore. We have a pretty good idea what's on them, so you have to decrypt them.
The drive that they've already decrypted, they should just charge him with the stuff found on that. I don't see how you'd still be forced to decrypt the other drive.
At this point, they just want shit to charge him with.
They already have enough to shit to charge him with from the first drive. Each individual picture is a separate charge.
Yeah, but I'd rather, if he can get, like, 10 life sentences for the one drive, I'd like to see another 30 life sentences after that. And let's hope on the second drive there's some pictures of dead kids that'll solve some mysteries and shit like that, murders, and that he gets charged with that as well and gets put on death row or gets skinned alive by some big black guy in prison for being a fucking pedo.
He's going to be raped to death if he gets convicted. But that's beside the point here. He hadn't been charged up to this point. They now have evidence to charge him with what they can prove, and then send his ass to jail to be raped to death.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, wait a minute here. Are you the way you phrase that, do you think that a police officer will be able to just walk up to you and say, decrypt your hard drive now, fucker?
No.
Because that's essentially what they're doing to the guy. It's like, we think you've got kiddie porn. Decrypt it. Up until they actually cracked into one of his drives and said, oh, yep, there's kiddie porn there. All we had to go on was that there was their say-so. That, yeah, we think he's got kiddie porn. I mean, so, well, you know, how do we know they just...
They get the knock on the door today, and they go, well, here you go, like, here's the paperwork. We suspect you of having child pornography and information on how to make explosives. All right. So there, have my drives. But guess what, fucker? If you don't find any child porn on there or any explosive stuff, we're going to court. I'm going to sue the living shit out of you. Yeah, they should be able to...
They wouldn't plant it on there.
Yeah, good point. Thought about that.
Well, I would think that it's already gone too far if they're accusing you, because they're already dragging your name through the mud if you don't actually have it there. Your image is you're already going to be seen as a child, you know, a pedophile.
I was having the discussion with another person, and that is the only thing I'd be willing to shank someone for, is making the accusation of child pornography. Anything else, you can call me anything else under the sun, I would not care. Call me a child pornographer, I'll shank you. Because that's about the only thing that will ever get through.
Don't even know Fargo's knocking on your door.
Yeah, it's just, like, once you're tarnished with that brush, you're done. Your life is over.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, it still comes down to the government is wanting him to confess.
If he did it, he should confess. Fucking man up. He's obviously not a man because he likes to rape children. He's not even human. He wants to rape children.
Well,
dude, I can't defend it.
If you're assuming he's guilty, which they've probably found kitty porn on another
drug. This guy's guilty. So let's step aside from this case, because we know this guy's guilty because they managed to...
It's interesting
to me that they managed to crack one of the drives.
If this passes, then... the cops can come into my house and say, confess to whatever they want me to confess. That's what this is lying down to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Fifth Amendment is supposed to be for. We can't be forced to confess to something. They have to prove it on their own.
Have you not walked around outside in the local community lately? That's all that's going on. The idea of justice and truth and shit like that does not exist in any form anymore.
Then it's time to take up arms and fix the problem. I still see justice and truth as existing, and I don't want it to be eroded anymore or stopped anymore.
If it comes to the point where, you know, Fox just says, well, just plant the evidence. That's right. I can't trust them. You know, I do not trust them what they say. They don't have the evidence. They'll just fucking plant it.
Yeah. It's like the digital crime. The Tijuana cops, you know, like, oh, you got drugs. No, I don't. Yes, you do. I just pulled this baggie out of your pocket. You pulled that out of the trunk.
Yeah. The only hope I have is that the millions of CCTV cameras around capture the cops doing it wrong.
they would take your box, they'd go into some little back room, unsecured, go through their, like, massive, like, petabytes worth of kiddie porn.
Yeah.
And stick it on your drives.
Yep.
Look at this deviant bastard. He was watching some guy get fucked to death by a horse.
Hey, Mr. Hands?
Seriously, man. This is why I'm a massive advocate for pay cash. Don't have a mobile phone. Keep your head low.
Well, I'm a massive advocate of the cops charging you with what they can prove. And then if you're guilty and they can prove you're guilty, send your ass to prison to be raped to death.
Yeah, I'm for the rule of law too, but it's getting to the point where, well, we just need a scapegoat here. We need a trial. You know, or we really, really don't like this guy. Let's make him go away.
Well, that's kind of what somewhat happened in this case. All they had was an indictment. A prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. They can indict anyone they want.
Wait a minute. They cannot indict inanimate objects. Come on.
They can indict a fucking ham sandwich. They can bring charges against a ham sandwich, take it before a grand jury, and if the grand jury votes to indict, they've indicted a fucking ham sandwich. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. The indictment is the process of taking it before the grand jury. So yeah, they can indict a fucking ham sandwich.
That is true, unfortunately.
So on
I
want to
see that go down now.
On the strength of indicting a ham sandwich... a judge is saying this guy has to decrypt a hard drive.
Because I think wasn't it Stephen Colbert who put down a hock of ham as the head of his super PAC? And that was okay?
If he incorporated in Delaware, yes.
Yeah, it was something like that. And then it turned out that all that Tea Party and all that, the people that get caught up, the only reason they got caught up in the IRS thing was because they actually filed to be a for-charity thing, where Colbert's was not paying tax or anything like that. He just didn't file because you didn't have to file with the IRS for that tax-exempt status. It's a massive scam, dude. It's a joke. It blows your mind. It's an absolute joke.
All right, let's go on to the next story here. This one's from Wired. Deutsche Bahn has, AFP reports, had problems with graffiti getting onto its trains when they're parked in the company's depots. The cost of cleaning it up last year reached 7.6 million euros. So the relatively small investment in testing quadcopters at a cost of 60,000 euros seems like a good investment. They'll fly roughly 150 meters above Deutsche Bahn depots at nights in problems areas where taggers are most active, an unnamed spokesperson told AFP. Infrared images gathered by the drones could be used as evidence to back up a case against anyone caught and prosecuted for vandalizing a train. However, the train company will have to tread carefully. There are extremely strict laws in place in Germany governing the use of surveillance like this, and the company's operators will need to make sure that the drones only gather images from Deutsche Bahn property. Public opinion of surveillance is also hostile, blah, 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 blah. Google got in trouble for running around streetcars. I saw a Google car the other day, actually. I wanted to moon it as it went past, but I didn't see it in time to get the full pressed ham. And and speaking of indicting a ham sandwich,
you would have been so proud.
Germany is also the nation of Camover, the annual anti-surveillance competition where the winner is the player who disables the greatest number of CCTV cameras in the most inventive ways possible. So in Germany, a train company is putting drones over its yards to catch people tagging the trains.
I think that's a cool use of technology, I think.
Morse, did you say the year is 1984? This segment?
I don't remember what year I said at the beginning. I can't read a calendar.
You'd rather just a shitty silver thing running around on rails instead of a beautiful painted piece of canvas.
That has "I like to eat pussy" scrawled across the side of it. I think I'd rather see
right there.
Yeah.
No, man.
I'd rather take the blank canvas. Sorry.
No, I'm not talking about the profanity and crap like that. I'm talking about nice mural artwork.
If they did mural artwork, I could see it. But they're talking about taggers.
Exactly. When was the last time you ever saw a nice mural on the side of a car?
There's going to be "I like to eat pussy" with some stylized initials at the bottom or a symbol so the guy can claim his work.
Or "I love Susan" or some stupid shit like that.
I'd rather an innocuous statement. Sorry.
Swath threw something fun in the chat room there. You're talking about a paintball gun's working really well against small drones. And so what happens is they'll charge you for destruction of the drone as well at that point, as well as tagging the train.
I say tag a train.
What happens when people capture the drones and tag the drones?
Is the feed being streamed somewhere?
It didn't say. I would assume so. When I built the drone, that's how I did it.
Well, they still have the evidence. You just charge them with vandalizing the drone and the train. Bonus points if you can tag the drone without getting caught.
That sounds like a great addition to that CCTV camera game in Germany. Was it Camover?
Yeah.
Well, they're using thermal images, so masks won't work well against hiding your identity from those guys.
What about infrared LEDs? Don't those screw with thermal imaging?
Okay, we'll have to get some hats, put a few of those on there, grab a drone and write "I like to eat pussy" on it, and then let it go. Release it back into the wild after it's been properly tagged.
Just release it with a little bit of rope on it, man, so it can only fly around in circles from now on.
get a little heat gun and bend the fins on it so it, like, you know, flies in spirals.
But I'm fine with the train company doing this. I think it's a cool idea.
No, kids, go out and tag trains.
Moving trains, preferably.
Yeah.
If you can pull it off. All right, last news story I have for tonight is from The Verge. At the D11 conference, Regina Duncan, or Dugan, SVP for Advanced Technology and Projects at Motorola, showed off some advanced projects. The first was a prototype Electronic Tech 2 on her arm from MC10. And the second was a pill from Proteus Digital Health that you can swallow that is then powered by the acid in your stomach. Once ingested, it creates an 18-bit signal in your body and thereby makes your entire person an authentication token. Dugan called it vitamin authentication.
Oh, yeah. God, I'm going to get tagged.
Motorola has a pill you can eat that is powered by your stomach acid that turns your body into an RFID tag.
The government is going to be tracking us. This is like fillings in the teeth bad.
I don't like your show anymore, Morps. Wow.
Morps, I've run out of alcohol.
Yes, provide us with more.
Well, if Fox ran out, that's saying something.
Like, what are they going to do is assign you, like, an RFID authentication token. And so they're like, all right, here's your pill. Your ID number 18F. Okay, well, you swallow the pill, you know, a couple days later or whatever, it makes its way through. Do you have to go find that pill when it comes out the other end and swallow it again, or else your authentication token will be expired?
Yeah, I'm going dynamic at that point. Fuck you all.
Yes, you'll get the pill and a small scooper every 3 days.
You have to go through, otherwise, you have to go through all the paperwork and re-authenticate
it
again.
Void your warranty. You know,
exactly. Wait, can you imagine being like
prove who you
support?
Are again.
Could you imagine being the frontline support for that? It was like, hey man, I went out and I had some bad Mexican food the other night. I'm gonna need a new pill. I don't even know where that is right now.
I'm sorry, sir. This has been your third pill this month. Policy requires that we wait at least 90 days before issuing you a new one.
Yeah, future news. A lot of Motorola pill users end up with salmonella and other cholera.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know where my pill is. It's probably splattered on the back of that Denny's toilet I was at the other night.
Oh, I've got something even worse. I can take it even worse if you'd like. Some fetish goes through this and scans twice.
Stop.
German prostitutes are being pinged multiple times while walking through scanners.
Oh, stop. Okay. That was supposed to be the mind bender for this week, and I'm just rocket snap.
I guess something even worse.
I don't care if you have something even worse. We played the bumper. It's time for Digital Dojo. Okay. First thing I have in Digital Dojo is, I think I've done this one before, but it's a good resource, so I'll point it out again. Pentesterlab.com. What they have is a whole bunch of vulnerable systems in virtual images, and then they've got a write-up. They've got exercises that you can use with the VMs to try out different attacks. I suggest looking at the Web Basics one, because they've got a really good primer on SQL injection, cross-site request forgery, all the common methods people are using, and it's really good to even just skim the exercises so you get an idea of just how easy this shit is to pull off. And if you like testing things, you can pull down their vulnerable images and attack them. So that's actually really handy. And the second thing I have is from securityexploded.com, and that is a little program called Network Password Dump. What it does is it goes into the Windows Credential Store, which the Windows Credential Store is the Windows answer to the Mac keychain. Pretty much it stores a whole bunch of authenticated stuff, commonly like your network login password, your Exchange, your Outlook accounts, Live Messenger, Remote Desktop, the old version of the Gmail notifier, and anything you've done through Internet Explorer. It will get saved in this Windows version of the keychain. And this program dumps out all the passwords in plain text. And it does work. I tested it.
It's just a
nice little executable, so once you've pwned a machine, you can dump this on there and get all the passwords.
Very cool. I was going to say, along with the Pentester Lab link, isn't there a vulnerable VM that came out with Rapid7 named Metasploitable?
Yeah,
I think it's the one that they put out. That's another one. That one's cool, though, because I've never seen one that actually has exercises that show you, you know, have you tried doing this? Check this out, you know.
OWASP has a live CD that's got a bunch of them, too. There's also Damn Vulnerable Linux, if you're looking for that kind of stuff.
That was the other one. I was trying to think of that one, yeah.
Pentester Lab is new, or new-ish, okay. So...
Do the other ones have exercises and like how-tos essentially with them?
Damn Vulnerable Linux did not.
This is the first one I've seen that actually
put together one that did Metilidae, and that one had some write-ups and not so much tutorials but guides.
Okay.
So. You know, like, you know, kind of go, you know, do this, do that, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, I'm just going to put the Pentester Lab in the show notes there because the rest of them you can find fairly commonly. So, that's really pretty much all I've got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. We're always looking for new music to add and possibly podcasts here soon if we can get some scripting working. Pure Decking every Thursday. I Have Nothing on Saturdays. The Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. I kind of quit reading off the other shows because they've been on hiatus long enough. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit, the IRC, sending psychic messages to Foxwolf can receive them this week. I recommend sending Madman more bourbon so that he can continue to keep the planet from falling into the sun. And that's really pretty much all I've got. If anybody else has anything they want to close out the show with here, now's the time. Otherwise, I'm going to hit play on this music.
I'll go with hit play.